welcome to the Nittany Blues Podcast. By Penn State fans, for Penn State fans. Here are your hosts, Andrew and Vince.
Hey everyone, welcome back into the Nittany Blues Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us here. Andrew here alongside Vince, and we got our tailgate experts in tow. We're going to talk a little bit about Michigan, some of the changes with the coaching staff. We're going to talk Penn State versus Rutgers. We've got Senior Day on the horizon here, final home game of the season in Beaver Stadium. So a bit to unpack here. So where do you guys want to start? I mean, it's been a pretty hectic five-ish days for Penn State. You know, we were having a conversation literally a week ago, and we were all so optimistic, you know, at least three out of the four of us were, but things right. Changed in a hurry.
I blame Vince. Yep. Let's
again, once again, I'm right on my island all by myself.
Yeah. Well, all right, fine. Let's take this in chronological order.
Yeah.
So let's start with the game. Then we'll go to, we'll just take it throughout the weeks. So start with the game.
Sure. So
that's where it all started.
Yeah. For a quick recap, just in case you just wanted another kick in the teeth for this trip down memory lane. So Penn State lost that game by 9 points. Truly, you know, another soft showing for the Penn State offense, especially against a top five opponent. Almost a rinse repeat of what happened in the Ohio State game. Penn State just couldn't get anything going offensively. It seemed like they were throwing spaghetti at the wall at times with some of their play calling. I mean, when you're running a QB draw as many times as you are with a quarterback like Drew Aller, like something's a little disjointed. But the defense played admirably, kept Penn State in the game for all four quarters, really. Kept giving the offense time and time again a chance to go down and make it like a one possession game or even take the lead in the middle of the game, but the offense just couldn't get it done. So what that ended up with was Michigan just running the ball all over Penn State, especially in the second half. They didn't feel the need to throw at all. JJ McCarthy only threw one pass the entire second half, and it just resulted in a PI penalty against Penn State. So they didn't feel the need to put the ball in the air, and that was all she wrote. So a lot of frustrated fans, frustrated team. Michigan is now trying to claim the title of America's team, which is horrible in its own special way. So that was the first sequence in this series of dominoes. So thoughts.
Go ahead, Fred.
Well, yeah, like you said, I don't even know if it's worth getting into the specifics of the game. It really, right. it really did feel exactly like Ohio State. And I guess with good reason, right? Obviously, if we play a team at that level, the wheels come off the bus offensively, evidently. I will say, I have to comment on the Michigan wanting to be America's team. And frankly, the fans that were there last week. I can't imagine being in the situation they're in with all the, you know, the cheating and the suspensions and all that stuff. And regardless of what you think the outcome's going to be, like, I just don't feel like I could be that arrogant about it. You know, I would take the win, obviously, and be thrilled for the win, but to act like none of that other stuff's going on and just like, oh, we're just the champions, we're so great, and isn't half of America at least saying, yeah, but you cheat? Anyway, no shame, man. No shame. I would just quietly take the win and not trumpet it all that much.
I would say they're the Patriots.
Yeah, right. We'll pretend that doesn't exist. And I mean, it works. They'll pretend it doesn't exist. And some people just go along with it. So, but it's infuriating for me. Yeah. Hey, at the end of the day, I think what had to happen happened, right? Obviously, the offense is just, it's not so much just, like I said, the wheels come off the bus, right, when they're significantly challenged. It's not like we just, you know, don't play quite well enough offensively, right? All the passes to nowhere I cannot recall between Ohio State and Michigan. I just can't recall watching games with that many passes that far off. And that's, again, that's not to say Allar's off. It's probably more of a coordination route running problem, right? I don't think you could be that far off without there being significant miscommunication, right?
And not only that, you know, one thing that I noted too was like, it seems like they just didn't really know what their plan was going to be or had a really solid plan, like with their personnel, because the only receiver who I can recall doing something significant in both of those games is Caden Saunders. And he's been buried in the depth chart like all season long. When that guy gets a shot, like he does good things on the field. So it's just like one of those perplexing things where it's like you have this guy who we don't really see enough of, it seems like. And then there's other times like when you have another guy who's buried on the depth chart, like Malik Mega, who just absolutely flubs a wide receiver screen, loses 2 yards, and then all of a sudden we're punting after getting a first and five. You know, it's like little things like that.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not one of those people that jumps on, yeah, obviously every game, even when we're winning, right, we're surrounded by people who think the play calls suck. That always had, right? If they don't work, they suck. If they work, they're great. That's always, so I really try to shy away from that, right? But, you know, if you're running and gaining, you know, 5, 6, 7 yards a run 2, 3 times in a row, I say you stick with it a little bit, like Michigan did in the second half, right?
Five yards to carry, that'll get you first down.
Yeah, it's like Yersich was just like too cute, right? I'm going to change it up. I'm going to try some funky little wacky play right in the middle of when I'm having success, and then it fails and we lose our momentum. And I was very frustrated with the play calling. Obviously, Franklin was too. You know, he's made plenty of comments about how at this point, the game wasn't really called the way they sort of discussed it ahead of time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess he's going off script. And like I said, I could only think maybe he thought he had these great ideas that were going to be really successful and none of them worked, I guess. But something had to change, obviously, right? I was a little surprised it happened in the middle of the season, but if you know that's what you got to do, you might as well do it and move on.
Yeah, I thought the comments were actually pretty intriguing, just given how the whole season has gone so far, because it's like, how often has this been a thing, and has Penn State offensively just been able to beat all the other teams not named Ohio State and Michigan because of just pure athleticism? Like, they're able to make the randomness work in times. Like, has that been the case all season, or is it just in these big games that everybody just kind of gets a case of like brain fog and they just kind of forget like what they're doing to a degree?
Yeah. I mean, I'm leaning towards the former. Like you said, I think we have enough talent that if the opponent's weak enough, right, we can dominate. But even there, right, we played some opponents a little closer than we thought we should have. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, and I do think it's probably been an ongoing theme. I mean, Franklin's kind of, yeah, as a people person, I definitely think he was, I could see him just like nudging and encouraging all season. Hey, Mike, you know, maybe we should try this. Maybe we should do that. Like getting him, trying to get him there on his own versus, you know, hey, Mike, what the hell? Do this, right? But, you know, obviously at this point, maybe it's happened and, you know, he couldn't get him on board. So that's that. But I could see him just sort of trying to nicely get the guy where he needed to be, and obviously was unsuccessful at it.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, just to quickly recap there. So this is kind of the second domino to fall from this past weekend. So on Sunday, James Franklin made the decision to part ways with offensive coordinator Mike Yersich, who was in his third year at Penn State. And the suddenness and the timing of the decision, I would say, was surprising to some. Kind of seems like that's something you would expect like a James Franklin Penn State team to do after the season is over. So really, I mean, obviously it's pretty clear that James Franklin had some pretty strong feelings about the matter, wanted to address them quickly. So, you know, they're going to be looking for a new coordinator. Franklin already said that he has a list of potential candidates that he keeps updated at all times. So
interesting in and of itself, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
<than that. laughs>
That's a good point. I mean, that's kind of how he landed Yurcich too, because Yurcich was on his list and he got Shiraka. And then when Yurcich became available, you know, the following offseason coaching carousel, that's when he decided to like trade in Shiraka for Yurcich. So Yurcich was kind of like a product of that process too.
Yeah. Well, and now that you bring that up, right, who knows? Maybe he felt he had to do it now because he's got candidates on the list that he'll miss out on, you know, if he doesn't get in the game right away. Maybe they'll go somewhere else, get an offer, you know, somewhere else, and he's got to get on it. Who knows?
Yeah, which, I mean, I'm kind of a fan of at this point. It's like, if you see the need to make a change, like, why wait?
Yeah, why wait, right? Right. Yeah, I bet that's the thing. Where nothing good's going to happen in these last two games on the offense all of a sudden, so you might as well get moving.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So, Dad, we've got Jaywon Sider and Ty Howell calling the offense these past two games. What are you expecting to see?
I honestly have no idea. how much different can it actually be? Maybe the play more calling runs becomes, well, yeah, you would think it'd be more weighted towards let's get these. I hope they call plays that get these guys into positions that enables them to succeed. Like, put them in the best positions to let them do what they do. And so
watch them turn into like the 49ers offense in these last few games. And we're just going to think like all off season, like, what if we had this offense against Michigan and Ohio State?
Yeah. Other than that, I don't care one way or the other. It's just like our offense. Now, granted, we played a lot of, you know, like, well, like in the last month, we've basically gone from like, you know, we're 30-point favorites to we're 4-point dogs to we're 30-point favorites to like we're 6-point dogs to like this week we're like 20-point favorite. You know, our offense is like a heartbeat up and down and up and down over this last month. And so honestly, I don't care. I really think we could beat these guys with 6 plays. Just run the same 6 plays over again. Give me 3 throwing plays and 2 running plays and just run different crap out of that same thing and just keep running them.
Well, and that's one thing that can change in a week. Just consistently calling, you know, a decent set of plays. Nothing too cute.
Right.
That's it. Just every play.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you think to... We don't really need to run all that many different plays. Just like run them well. I mean, you said it earlier, whatever. Like, perhaps it's just literally the fact that these guys are pretty dang good and in their athleticism, and just call the plays that make them good. Just give me like 6 plays that run well and run them. And just they're going to pick up, if they pick up 6-7 yards, just keep running them until they stop them and then come up with something. Just move the ball down the field. That's all I want to see.
I have a proposal. I say we just run that last play, that last 2-point try attempt, that formation on every single play. So we just send all the offensive linemen to the left side of the field, have all the receivers with Drew, with one of them snapping the ball, and then they just do that.
All right. Actually, I think if you actually, it might work better with Bo in that formation.
And that's what I said in our last podcast. It's like, if you're going to do something like that, where the quarterback is going to have to scramble around and try to find receiver to get separation against these guys when they hadn't done it all season, like, right, why not put the guy who's faster?
Wouldn't it be crazy if you did that formation and put Liam Clifford back there?
Well, as quarterback?
Just let him take the damn ball. Or Keon, well, I mean, or Lambert Smith. He can throw.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I mean, at least that point, Liam wouldn't be in danger of roughing the punter. So,
correct. He is his brother. He loves laying people out.
Yeah, he certainly does. That was something I brought up last time, too, was like, you know, I'm wondering if we kind of undervalued Sean Clifford a little bit, because this was the same offensive coaching staff minus the wide receivers coach the last 2 seasons. And Sean certainly had his ups and downs, but like when he had his like his high moments, they were pretty high. So how much did he kind of erase in terms of, you know, play calling and coaching inadequacies by just being really good? You know, what if as like as a group, we kind of didn't know what we had when we had it?
Well, Clifford had also been doing that for a lot of years.
That's true.
And we tend to forget that we came into this season with, I don't know, it's his first year starting, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So we'll see what he can do. And then after one game, all of a sudden he's supposed to be Superman. You know, he's still, you know, like, I'm pretty sure that Clifford in his first season was not Superman either. You know, I don't know that he ever was, but the dude was a gamer and he was tough. But Drew, man, just give him time and he's got the,
yeah,
just let it go and just let's move on.
So Vince, I want to give you the floor here. So with Ty Howell kind of sharing these offensive play calling duties with Jaywon Sider, do you think we're going to see more out of the tight ends?
I sure hope so. I wasn't joking about that wing T, like run it every play. That's my favorite formation. It's the one we have the most success with. Now, obviously, you're not going to run that at all times. You do want some speed to stretch the field when you're kind of in that middle in between the 20 and 20. Yeah, run that wing team more. Run the line lunge in the short yardage situations. And really what I think the biggest thing is these receivers, Andrew, need to get on the same page. Just the throws are all over the place and it just, everyone looks discombobulated and they gotta get on the same page. Offense is all about timing and rhythm. So I'm really looking for them to get Drew into that rhythm. That way he can hit his targets, but you know, that's on everybody, you know, from play calling to Drew to the receivers and even the offensive line.
Yeah. I'm curious to see like what kind of offense we get just in terms of like, I don't want to call it like willpower, but just kind of like the galvanizing that can sometimes happen when a coach is let go and everybody kind of rallies together for just that team camaraderie. Like what if they come out and, you know, Nick and Catron both run for like 100 yards? Like that's I think it's like a coin flip, but it's just like, if we see that, it's just going to be such a, yeah, this is classic Penn State football right here. Like, you know, right,
and everybody's going to be even more mad about last week.
Yeah.
True.
Honestly, I will be. Cause yeah. Like, if this is the kind of offense that we're capable of, you know,
and not, just, positively, well, that'll mean, I don't know. I mean, decision
the week before that or whatever, you were hoping that what you saw the week before that showed up.
I mean, sure.
Had half of that showed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, now I got a question for you guys. So a few weeks ago after the Ohio State loss, Coach Franklin said he wanted to be judged for his full body of work, not just these two games versus Ohio State and Michigan, and really being unable to beat those programs over the past few years. And last year, Mike Yurcich takes us to a Rose Bowl victory. Good 10-2 season, nice Rose Bowl victory. Put up a lot of points against Ohio State at home. Really good performance there. The defense, I mean, outside of turnovers, it was a good offensive performance. And yeah, you know, first Rose Bowl in a very long time. First one Andrew and I can remember watching. So you look at Franklin's track record. He's had 5 offensive coordinators in his short time at Penn State. Yeah, John Donovan got fired. Joe Moorhead worked out. Ricky Ronnie, not great. Scirocco only lasted 1 year. And then you have Mike Yurcich, who, you know, just got the boot. So do you think this more, with this sample size, really reflects more on Franklin's inability to hire and evaluate the level of offensive coordinators that we need? Do you think it's players not executing? Do you think it's really bad luck? What are your thoughts on that? We'll start with Fred.
Well, again, I think it's too easy to sort of, there's so many moving parts in an organization like this, right? It's like, how do I know for sure, right? And I always go back to, you know, Bill's always pointing out, right? It's like, it's nice to speculate about this stuff, but at the end of the day, as Bill would say, right, who you got in mind that's the guaranteed better than James Franklin, right?
Nobody ever has an answer.
Nobody ever has an answer. Or the answer is someone who's doing worse currently somewhere else.
Exactly.
Right? Like, so the guy doing worse over
PJ
there.
PJ Fleck. Like,
no. PJ Fleck's going to magically be the solution, right? He's not the solution where he is now.
I ain't rowing no boat.
Right. So now, granted, that's not giving a pass to the fact that, you know, we're very, very good, but can't quite get over that last little hump, right? But the last little part's the hardest part, right? We're like, you know, we're very, very good in a lot of things, just not quite the best, right? So it's really, yeah, it's very hard for me to say, like, you know, I don't know what's going on in the locker room and, you know, what, yeah, like Andrew's bringing up, it'll be interesting to see how they react to this, right? If we do see an energized team, which I kind of feel like we might, then, you know, that might point to, you know, some of the social media you guys have been sharing about locker room issues and that kind of stuff maybe being true. You know, I don't know. But if they react positively, it's an interesting thing, right? That they're kind of happy he's gone. That'll be interesting. The other thing, and you know, the other thing that, well, let's put it this way. Franklin sort of laid out how to judge him for the next year or two, right? Which is the, you know, I think he's taken responsibility, but the one thing he's been out in the press talking about is, you know, that he's finally got alignment between him, you know, the AD, the president of the university. They're all on the same page, right? Essentially for the first time since he's been here is what he's saying. Well, so that's sort of, I won't call it an excuse. That's his reason, right? Or at least one reason why they haven't gotten from very, very good to great. Well, now he's saying that's in place, right? So, you know, what's the excuse next year or maybe the next, you know, 2 years from now, if that's all in place? And actually replacing Yurcich is an interest. I assume alignment means willingness to pay and that kind of stuff, right? So it'll be interesting to see who they replace him with, what caliber person and what they're willing to pay to do it, you know, given this so-called alignment. So you guys know I'm a Franklin fan, so I'm willing to give him, you know, some benefit of the doubt. And like I said, it's not like we're bad. We've done a lot of things very, very well. You know, he hired Manny Diaz too, and none of us are complaining about that one. Now, you know, we'll see if he can hang on to that dude for next year. Not so sure about that, but we'll see.
Not a snowball's chance in hell.
Yeah, man. Right? It's going to be tough, right? It's going to be very, very tough. So, yeah, great. So next year we'll have an awesome offense and the defense will go into
yeah.
The
yeah, there we go.
So anyway, there's blame to go around. But I'm certainly willing to, you know, I'm not one of the people like calling for Franklin's head at this point. Maybe sometime, maybe 2 years from now, if nothing's changed, but not at the moment.
Yeah. And I think like so much of this conversation, I mean, we react in the moment and we express our thoughts in the moment because, you know, the game just kind of affects us in this way. Like we want to beat these guys so badly that it's like, as soon as the game is over, we want to make like a snap decision as like a fan base and as individual fans and stuff like that. But, you know, I think when you really like kind of step back and look at the, like what the past 10 years have looked like, yeah, he only has 4 wins against both of these programs, but that's twice as much as the next guy in the Big Ten, not named Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh. So like, while, you know, he's not at the level that he, you know, kind of said he wanted to be 5 years ago, they're still in a better position relative to these two teams than any other team in the Big Ten. And I mean, I don't think it's really even close. Penn State's like spot in third, like, and we don't want to be third, obviously, but that's, you know, kind of where we're at. It's like, it's Ohio State and Michigan, a gap, huge gap, cool. And then everybody else.
Right. And better than being eighth.
That exactly. Yeah. And yeah, so, and I think, yeah. Go ahead, Fred.
No, I was saying this year, And this year, that frustration's even higher, right? Because we all sort of assessed that we had a better chance this year than any previous year, right?
Right. Exactly what you said, a better chance.
Yeah.
A better chance, it was a shot. Right. We had a puncher's chance in both games.
Yeah.
And well, so,
and in the past, like, 2 years, too, especially, you know, like, granted, Franklin has lost to Michigan when they were not ranked or, like, ranked inside the top five and stuff like that. Like, those are, like, got to win some of those games. But in the case of, like, Ohio State, they're almost always ranked inside the top five when Penn State has played them. So it's like, yeah, you're losing to these two teams, but it's like, you know, you're losing these two teams when they're two of the three or four best teams in college football almost year after year at this point. Yeah. It's like, how many SEC teams have never won a game against Saban and Alabama? Like, there's only,
you're like, you know, it's like, we're like Tennessee right now. I mean, Tennessee was like, you know,
at one point,
but I mean, recently, I mean, you just like, you talk about that, like Alabama and Georgia, they all have to play. You know what I mean? There's teams in that thing that have, you know, the same, they're in the same predicament. I think that next year, once we go to this new format, we're actually really well suited for this new format. Because, you know, the West never had to play like we play, like literally playing the gauntlet every single year. And so we're built for that. And then, so we come to next year where everything's a free for all, you know, I think we're pretty well suited for this new alignment where we don't have these. I mean, granted, we play Ohio State next year, but
yeah.
But
by the way, we're all really bummed out. But did anybody here predict us to go undefeated this year?
No,
at the beginning of the season, right? None of us thought we'd win these games anyway.
Yeah.
So basically, we did exactly what we thought we'd do.
I thought 11-1.
Everybody's upset about it.
11-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was hopeful. Come on, Vince. You hoped we'd beat one of them.
Right.
But on the
you had us at 1-1 and hope we beat both of them, but you picked us to lose in both of the games that you needed to win one of us.
So there is that.
I had us beating Ohio State.
Yeah,
you did.
I had us beating Michigan. So, yeah.
And remember, Michigan wanted to fire. All the Michigan fans wanted to fire Harbaugh like 3 years ago, right?
Exactly.
He's never beaten Ohio State. Well, guess what happened? It changed. No, it might be because he's cheating.
Yeah, I was going to say. Because he's cheating.
A healthy dose of cheating will do that.
No, I don't think we're going to do that.
But on the topic of the offensive coordinator, though, Vince, like you said, I think – you know, it's like Fred said, it's so hard to kind of gauge it or assess it on one person because you have so many other coaches in that organization that all have to like perfectly align with this guy. Like everybody has to be on the same page. They have to all be like perfectly situated cogs in a very complex machine.
Yeah, but isn't that his job?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's his job.
But my point also is that like there's other parts of it that extend beyond like the confluence between your fellow coaches. You also have to be able to maximize the skill set of the players that are in front of you, both like physically as well as mentally. And Adam Brenneman actually had a very good, insightful thought on this whole thing and talking about like, where does Penn State go from here for offensive coordinator? And he said, one of the reasons why Joe Moorhead was so successful was not, I mean, obviously the guy was creative and innovative and very smart, but he also just knew how to instill confidence in his players. Like all the guy, like he never played for Moorhead, but he knew everybody who did because he, you know, at that point was not with the program, but he said like all those guys, like they believed that they could move the ball, that they could do like all the stuff that they did. And I mean, I said last time, like that team overachieved, you know, based on the talent that they had, in my opinion. Like if you look at the talent that's, you know, supposed to be in place right now at Penn State versus what they had in 2016. I mean, granted, Saquon Barkley brings that average way up, but my point still is that like it seemed like he was able to pull some levers that guys like Shiraka and Yursich couldn't. So, you know,
he put people in a position to use their skills. Like he it seemed like our players were more in plays that helped them use their talents.
And they were all bought in, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to get your take on this. We'll start with Fred. So I've thought that Franklin being an offensive guy, if the play calling is not working, I feel like he should kind of take over that duty. You saw Doug Peterson call plays when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Communication has obviously been an issue. We're all Eagles fans here. So I think one of the things they do really well is, especially on offense, they're extremely well at communicating and knowing their job on all the assignments. And if someone misses an assignment, you know, because Nick Sirianni is getting in the face of the players on the sideline when the drive's over. So my question for you, do you think maybe Coach Franklin should take a little bit more of the responsibility and be calling plays, especially when the offense is in such a rut like it is now?
Well, yes, I think he should have. He probably should have after Ohio State, right? Because I think based on his comments, he had already, you know, he had determined there was a problem, right? So, yeah, I think he should have. I just, you know, I don't think he's naturally that guy. Like I said, like he's Mr. Team Builder. You know, he's a psychiatry major. He's trying to figure out how to get these guys to get there on their own, which at the end of the day is better if you can do it, right? If you can quickly get them to think it's their idea, right, to change up or get on board, that's probably the best thing. But I do think he didn't do that. Well, I say early enough. He never did it. He just fired him instead.
Yeah, now, what I feel like is if you don't like the way something's being done, I just have the philosophy, if I don't like the way something's being done, I'm going to do it myself. And I just step up and take that initiative. Yeah. I would like to see him take that initiative instead of just being like, oh, I'm going to fire this guy. Like, he's obviously had some success at the program, taking them to the Rose Bowl in the previous year. So it's not like this guy can't coach. It's just something's not clicking. And sometimes play callers get in a rut. You saw Nick Sirianni get in a rut with the Eagles, and he hands it over to Shane Steichen, and they make it to a Super Bowl. So,
but it's like a big decision, right? Because if he does that to Mike, then Mike just quits. He's like, I'm not going to have Franklin just overruling me. What am I doing here? You know,
yeah. Offensive. And that's why, like, Sean Lewis is probably going to be leaving Colorado after this season.
In the end,
well, that's in the thing. He's giving him the opportunity to call the plays. And when you put up performances like that, you know, weeks leading up to Ohio State and then Ohio State, you know, you got Michigan. That's the big one.
I agree with you. He should have done it, but then Mike would have just quit instead of getting fired, I think. But
offensive coordinator at Penn State's a pretty good job. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Do you think like Alabama and Georgia are gonna try and hire him for offensive coordinator after like the performance he put up this year?
It happened with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. Well, and I guess even if he doesn't quit, then he's just moping around and not doing anything. You know what I mean? You're pulling the trigger one way or another.
But still, whether the head coach calls...
Bill wants in, man.
Whether you're calling the plays as the head coach or the offensive coordinator, you still have an offensive coordinator on the team.
That's true.
It's not like they're not doing anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, my position was that, like, it doesn't matter who was calling the plays one way or the other. Like, this offense was still the offense with, you know, James Franklin at the helm. Even if they were splitting the play calling duties 50-50, like you can't have 10 weeks straight of offense like this. And like, you know, that quote from like National Treasure where the FBI guy goes like, someone's got to go to jail, Ben. Well, in this case, someone had to get fired. Like just kind of the nature of the business.
Yep.
Yeah. So for me, I don't think that, you know, I think he gave Mike his chance and he should have taken over. So it should have been done. And I think you might be looking at a different team really at this point in the season.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we're going to find out.
All right, Bill, what are your thoughts?
Well, we're not going to go through this whole thing. Like this pod's going to be like 3 hours long if we continue. So we need to like kill this or whatever. My thoughts are basically, okay, think of Franklin. Okay, Franklin's a head coach. Yeah. He doesn't get dismissed from anything. Like everything is his responsibility. Just like if somebody on our staff there is cheating or whatever, guess who gets suspended? The head coach, irregardless of whether he did it or not. All right. So in our case here for this, okay, Franklin sees that something isn't going right or whatever. It's his responsibility to kill it. This is a $100 million business he is running. Okay. And so you don't care about people's feelings when it's a $100 million business, you know, and he's ready to fire this guy as of now. He needed a fall guy. That's who it was going to be. It's certainly not going to be Franklin. So he needs to fire somebody in this whole thing. But, you know, if things weren't going right after the Ohio State game, I place it on him that he didn't lay the freaking hammer down and settle this thing. And if he needed somebody else to call the plays, fine. If he didn't like the way they're calling, fine. If he did at one point in the game, if he thought, why are we running these plays? Call timeout. And actually change something right then and there. You know, if the plan wasn't being executed at the time, you know, it's his responsibility is honestly what I think. You know, not that I want like Franklin fired and all this kind of stuff. You got to remember, if you want to be the guy, then be the guy and run this thing. So you can't just keep hiring people and laying it all on him because it isn't going right. The one constant throughout this whole thing is Franklin. I love the guy. I think he's a Penn State guy. I don't want him to leave. I want us to succeed and all this kind of stuff. But you can't lay it off on other people. The constant throughout the last 10 years is this guy. So
yeah, I'm in full agreement with you there. Like the finger pointing at Mike Yurcich and being like, he's fired. Like that's not going to fix any problems. We're still going to have the same problems. Like, it's not a solution, in my opinion.
Right. I'm not saying that the next guy, we're going to have the same problems and everything. What I'm saying is that, you know, if you thought you had a problem 3 weeks ago and you just keep letting it go and letting it go throughout this thing. Oh, yeah. Let's just take like the two biggest games. I mean, we're talking about, you know, events and things, you know, in this business. Like, you know, how much money? There's 110,000 people there in that thing. and not that you're not going to make the money, regardless of whether we're going to lose. And I don't really care about that, you know, about us losing the game and all that, because we pretty much expect it. But, you know, we would be happy if we won, but I wasn't distraught. I was just disappointed in what I saw. And whatever the reason for that, I think, let's just move on. Forget it. Let's move on to Rutgers tailgating and get out of this. Yeah. Because like I said, we could be in this for 3 hours going around and around.
Yeah.
Yeah. More and more upset.
Let's move on. Absolutely right. Definitely how they lost was more hurtful than that they lost.
Oh, absolutely. More, yeah, absolutely.
Than how. But yeah. I'm gonna pull a Coach Franklin here and you know, this is obviously a Rutgers pod. So,
am I fired? Right. Am I out?
Yeah. Well, bring it on, Bill. And Bill, you're fired. Right. But let's see. Let's get some questions on Rutgers. How are you guys feeling going into the Rutgers game? I know myself personally, I'm a little uneasy on it, especially with our performance against Indiana post Ohio State. What are your first initial thoughts and feelings heading into this matchup?
We're not going to score a lot of points, but Rutgers is going to score far fewer.
I think we're going to score more points. not than Michigan, but we're going to score more than I'll bet you, Andrew. When we get to our numbers here, I'll bet you I have more numbers or us scoring more than Andrew does.
Oh, yeah. All right.
But who's going to be high? Who's going to be low?
Oh, wait till you hear my communion prediction is pretty good. And okay. It's not like, you know, like crazy, like eight people have to do something or whatever. It's very, very simple.
Good. Yeah. Cause you know, sometimes your community predictions are like NFL parlays, like certain things need to happen in a certain order.
Speaking about that, did you, this doesn't have anything to do with Penn State football, but I guess on Sportsbook or whatever, this last weekend, the largest sports bet payoff was $5.5 million. Some guy won a four leg parlay on the Houston Texans. He bet $500,000 on a four leg parlay and won $5.5 million.
Yeah, that was me. I'm waiting for the money to come in.
Yeah, I'm just curious how you get $500,000.
So I don't have to pay for the DJ for the wedding now? Is what they're saying?
Yeah. You thank DJ Stroud for that. Well, no, that's cool. Good for that guy. Thoughts on Rutgers?
Oh, yeah. We're going to win.
Yeah. Fred?
Yeah, I am uneasy. I can't, you know, I don't know how you could come out of last week and yeah, as you guys pointed out, some of our play against some of our other not that great opponents. But I think we got it. I think the offense is going to bounce a little bit and react positively here and have something to prove. So I too think we'll put up a decent amount of points.
I am glad it's home.
Yeah, oh, no, for sure. Because Rutgers, you know, last week they put a little dent in it, but, you know, at least watching them previous to that, Rutgers, you know, ain't bad. They actually played Ohio State pretty tough for a while, probably almost as well as we did. But, you know, by the try, I did see, right, I think Iowa shut them out.
Yes.
Right? And we shut Iowa out, but so by the transitive property of football.
Exactly. This game should be 55-0 for Penn State.
We should have this.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're getting pretty close to my number.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, definitely would be nice to see Penn State just, like, take all their pent-up anger and frustration from the season and just destroy Rutgers. That's my dream. However, Rutgers has the 20th ranked defense in the country statistically. So I know this defense is going to be really difficult to score on. So fortunately, I don't think we're going to be putting up those huge numbers, especially with all the, I feel like the tensions, there must be tension in the building amongst the offensive players. You know, I'm sure people are pointing fingers. I'm sure that, you know, the defense is just frustrated after putting out good performances and the offense just consistently letting them down. And then there's that emotional hangover. Yeah, Rutgers, this is a huge win for their program. Penn State, if they win, it's just what they're supposed to do. And, you know, this is a team that's in the past has felt sorry for themselves and had a hangover the following week. So I'm hoping that we are able to avoid that on Saturday.
Who did Rutgers play last week?
Iowa.
Iowa. It was last week. Yeah. Shut out.
Yeah. Week before that?
So Ohio State, I think.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm just wondering how much more they have in the tank after getting hammered.
Oh, that's true. They're going
to come to us and get hammered.
That's right.
It's true. So,
by the way,
I
actually wrote down one thing. Well, okay. I wrote down my prediction and I wrote down one thing.
Let's get to the note.
The note is that, you know, I'm assuming that Rutgers is going to run the same game plan that Michigan did. Keep it to a low possession game, probably run the ball and stuff, just exactly the same way as I wrote down Michigan. And then I scratched that out because I forgot that it's America's team. And then I'm like, wait a minute, America's team is the Cowboys. Wait a minute, hate these guys. So, yeah. So anyhow, we got this. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a nail biter and stuff. It may be a game for, you know, a half. You know, good guys will prevail.
Very good. So hit us with your communion prediction then.
All right, you're going to have three plays over 30 yards. For a touchdown.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, we're opening up.
Jesus is throwing bombs left and right.
Yeah. Cephas, Lambert, and Tyler Warren. Those are your three.
Very good.
Interesting. My prediction might tie into that a little bit.
Sounds like a good segue, Fred.
Well, my prediction is that Drew will have a completion percentage of 70% or greater, which he has only done three times this year so far. So he's going to be on his game.
Cool.
Or maybe I should say, maybe the receivers will be where they should be. It's however you want to look at it.
You know, somewhere in the general vicinity of the ball, so it doesn't just get thrown to
And I know, that's kind of a risky prediction, because as Vince said, you know, I don't know what kind of dysfunction's going on in there right now, but
just throw it to the tight ends. Just throw it to the tight ends. They do their job.
Yeah, have you given up on Nick Singleton getting 136 yards?
Yeah.
That would be hilarious if he actually got that this weekend.
I have to be honest. I actually thought about it just for fun, just because Bill just said, you know, it's probably going to happen now. Yeah, you know, he'll finally get a breakout run for like 90 of those yards or whatever. You know.
Yeah.
No, I didn't go there.
A kick return.
Yeah. Right.
After he scores that touchdown, he's probably going to like punch a hole in the wall, like beyond the end zone, just because he's just been so frustrated up to this point.
Yeah,
he's gonna run into the tunnel and like punch through the glass in the tunnel club.
Yeah, no, he's gonna force jump that. Vince, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I'll go. So I predict that Penn State will have a touchdown out of the wing T formation.
Nice.
Very nice. My prediction
which they're going to run for 45% of the plays.
Yes. That's one of the six plays that I would have in our mm-hmm. entourage. Mm-hmm. I'll bet you we could drive down the field on the wing tee the entire way.
Probably right.
Just like running out of it, passing out of it, whatever. I'll bet you could move the entire way down the field with it.
So my communion also deals with the wing tee. My prediction is that we're going to get a lion lunge touchdown from the 1 yard line, a la Jalen Hurts.
Nice.
No. Yeah. So it's not going to be the tush push. It's going to be like the wing T version of that.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I saw. I think we need a ruling on this. So I personally really like the lion lunge. I've also heard it referred to as the Nittany nudge on social media. Which do we like better?
I like the lion lunge because I came up with it.
I was going to say, you've got to,
And like nudge makes it seem like you barely move.
Yeah, I agree. I like lion.
Yeah.
Lunge. Yeah, that's fine. So, all right. Lion lunge it nudge. Is.
Yeah. It's not only did you barely move, you didn't even push that hard. It's just like, here you go.
Yeah. I mean
that's how our offense has been.
That's true.
Well, we moved the wing T like 6 yards. On that one play in Maryland.
Oh, yep.
And then we probably didn't see it again for another three quarters.
Yeah, we didn't need it.
Did we even run the wing tee against Michigan?
Yeah. We ran it twice inside the 5 yard line. Neither of them worked. And they ran and they ran it on, I think it was fourth and inches and stuff. And that was a nail biter too. Because they did the lunge with that and like that, they had to measure
it. More of a nudge.
Yeah, that was definitely more of a nudge than a lunge. All right, so when it doesn't work, it's a nudge. When it works spectacularly, it's a lunge.
It's a lunge.
There we go.
All right, so those are got our communion predictions here. Final score. So, Dad, since it seems like you're the most optimistic one here, score wise, why don't you start us out on a high note? How many points are we winning by?
42-23. What do you think? I was going to say like 70?
No. I was kind of thinking somewhere in the 40 to 50 range, so it's right.
Yeah, 42-23.
I would say 23 is higher than I would have expected you to give Rutgers, but...
Well, you got to remember, we're in this in the first half. We pull away in the second half.
True. All right. Vince, Fred, either one of you want to go?
I'll go last because I'll be on my island, I'm sure.
Well, let's sandwich this. 35-10?
35-10.
Cool. All right, Vince, let's sandwich this with some optimism. So hit us with your pessimism.
Pessimism.
Yeah.
All right. Here I am on Vince's island. day 568 of being 10-2.
Yeah.
Week 11. I got a defensive bloodbath. Penn State 16, Rutgers 13.
Wow.
It's going to be a close one.
At least he has his warning. I have
zero confidence in this offense.
Nice.
Zero.
Yeah, that's
everything
all right.
Except the wing tee.
So you know, the next guy who's going to hit it big on this parlay is going to be Vince, because he's taken Rutgers in those 20 points and he's like betting the mortgage on it.
Yep.
Yeah. And I win the under.
And the under. Yep.
There we go. What is the over under?
I think it's 41. It's only 41. So you guys, like, Bills like got over the points with just Penn State.
Yeah, I mean that's how we roll.
Vegas was wrong on us and Ohio State and us and Michigan too. So
that's true. So I've also got kind of a defensive struggle. I do think that we'll be able to get a couple of touchdowns in there, hoping for a galvanized team. Rutgers is turnover prone on offense, and their offense just isn't like very good once they come up against a half decent defense. So I'm taking Penn State 28, Rutgers 13. So there we have it.
Well,
any other thoughts on Rutgers coming into town, or should we talk some tailgating?
I want to hear what's going on for our finale. What got bringing out the big guns? What do we got?
Very, very fitting that it's also a noon game too. It's just like the nice cherry on top of this whole season.
Nice, nice little kicking the nuts. These two big noon losses, and then another big noon game just to finish off this season.
That's right, man. So to go right along with what you just said, no, it's not going to be blowout final one. We're gonna fizzle and come to a slow stop.
Exactly. Just like our offense.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Just like our offense.
Like, let it die a slow death.
We're going kind of minimalist on this one. Because there isn't, I mean.
So what is the wing tea of tailgating food?
The wing tea of tailgating food is
the best thing.
It's going to be good, but Chris is making chili. We're doing chili and cornbread. And, you know, Wesley's bringing like meat, cheese, crackers, vegetables and dip and stuff. And obviously I'm making tandy cake and Bloody Marys, but it's a little bit more low key because, you know, there's not going to be a whole lot of us there. I mean, like, this is going to be like the lowest numbers, you know, we've had all season.
Yeah. Plus, you know, Bill and I are old. We get tired towards the end of the season, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're worn out, man. We've done all kinds of
hitting the wall.
Yeah. So this is what's funny. It's Wednesday. I don't even know what I'm bringing yet.
Yeah, I haven't decided. Honestly, I was gonna text you or whatever thing. Yeah. It's like, this is the last one. Like, one of my favorite things that you make, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how hard it is for you to do whatever, but. You know, finishing with the breakfast casserole would be pretty.
You know, I might because I was going to say, whatever I do, it'll be stuff that, you know, I cook and bring, you know, crock pot type thing. Right. I'm not going to break out the grill or anything.
Everybody loves the breakfast casserole.
They
stuff,
do.
So.
Yeah.
So we can do that and chili. And like I said, Bailey's not going to be there. We got we're skeleton crew.
Yes. No buffalo chicken dip.
Will this be the first game? Will this be the first home game that Bailey's not at?
Yes.
All right. So if Penn State does come out and just blow him out of the water offensively, the way that dad is predicting,
it's his fault.
Exactly. So he's not allowed to come.
He's banned from the tailgate.
That's right.
Yeah. Tomorrow, Trish is going to be laughing at this when she listens.
We're going to exile him to like Columbus.
Yeah. Exactly. Go take your devil magic over to Ohio State.
Maybe we got the buffalo chicken dip superstition backwards, Bill. Maybe that's what was causing the problems.
I know. I mean,
didn't have any for Ohio State.
No, it's because it was away.
is away. Yeah. I need my buffalo chicken dip anyway, just the way it is.
Oh yeah. 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 It's going to be missed. It will. Yeah. But yeah, we're kind of minimalist.
Fine. So the dip can stay, but Bailey has to go.
Well, I have to say for the Michigan game, we had way too much food. Like there was tons of food.
Yeah, yeah. I knew there
I'm
would
still
be.
Eating it. I ate it for lunch today at work.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to bring some Tupperware to the tailgate and just take what you guys don't want and be like, here, feed me.
Oh, Vince.
Yeah,
I can't believe you haven't done that sooner.
You definitely could have done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Andrew's mom's chili is like the best. So, I mean, it's good stuff.
Yeah. It's Boy Scout Camp Award winning.
Ooh.
Well, actually, I didn't make your mom's recipe. I actually embellished it myself, which was why it was like almost
suicidal,
inedible. It was so hot. I didn't know that over the course of 6 hours in a crock pot that dumping that much chili powder into something would actually become that hot over time. But I made it hot at the time that I made it, and then it sat for hours in the thing. So the chili powder just kept, you know, like building and building and building. It was like that was almost dangerous.
I will add though that well, first of all, Vince, you know, don't get nervous. It'll still be good. We see we got plenty of good food. But also, unfortunately for me, we're going to run a little bit short probably, and I am going to have to go to the liquor store and buy a couple more fireballs to make sure we make it.
Well, that was one of the things I was going to say is just wondering if we start at 10. 10, 10, 30, and 11.
Yeah, I don't care. That's fine with me.
But. Yeah, or something like that, or just 10 and 11. Vince has a really hard time. You scared the crap out of me. You made it by like literally like 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I'm
getting ready to like, act, okay, I'm going to have to do this. And you come flying around the corner on your bike.
Yeah.
Hey, but I don't know, Bill, in the middle of the tailgate.
Would you want another entrance for Michigan, though? Like a big game like Michigan.
Yeah, that's true. It worked out, but
I was so scared though because I hit traffic and I got to the light on a Park Ave, and I looked at my wrist. I'm like, it's 8:59. I'm like, crap. Like I was like, I'm gonna be like biking down, and they're gonna be going like, oh, I'm getting ready to do the fight song. I'm like, so I was like, sneak in there and make my communion prediction if I'm lucky. So glad you guys are running just a few minutes behind.
Although I will say, Bill, I don't know. We may just let too many people down scaling back that much on the fireball. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I
feel like it's a thing now.
We're not doing the 9. The 9 was a new thing, and it's too tight. I agree. We don't have to do the 9. That's a little.
All right. Yeah. We'll do 9:30.
Yeah. 9:30. There's going to be
my time buffer, right, Vince?
With, I'm telling you, there's going to be people there at 9, and they're not going to be very happy.
That's all right.
They'll be all right.
But we'll do 9:30 every half hour. But you got to be there.
Like 9:15.
9:15 at the late. You got to be there 9:15 so Bill doesn't get nervous. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, exactly. It's Joe Boss saying if you're 15 minutes early, you're right on time.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That's right.
Well, that's the way I live my life. You're late. If you're not 10 minutes early, you're late.
That's right.
I do have to say though that I noticed at this last one at Michigan. It's funny how, you know, like you do things, you know, like you can condition people to like, you know, repetition and stuff. Like when we first got there last Saturday and stuck everything up, and I had the board up there I filled, you know, the chalkboard, filled out the times or whatever. And the lady's walking down with her dog and she's like, stops to look at the board and she goes, all right, we'll be back in like 10 minutes. Like, we have people conditioned to like look at the actual board and see like the times listed.
Yeah, it's a well-oiled machine now.
Yeah, it'd be nice if the kids at school would like read the board.
Well, maybe you should just give them Fireball. And they'd be more.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, terrible idea. They're already crazy enough.
They need to be properly motivated.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Vince, if you give them enough Fireball, they're not going to become more crazy. If anything, they're just going to, you know, probably be a little less coordinated. But
there's a lot of sugar in Fireball.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
Plus, what so if they like it?
Yeah. Hey, you got to give them something they don't like vodka. Vodka beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. That's yeah. This is a master class on how to run a phys ed class right now.
Right. Oh man.
Yeah. The secret to a great gym class. Alcohol, just lots of alcohol. And that's the end of my TED talk. Thank you all for coming.
Oh my.
Yeah. So all right. This has been a good pod. Another longer one by
this group. This one was all over the place.
It was.
Last one of the year has to be a good one. Last time we're doing this probably.
Yeah, for the last home game. And given the state of Penn State football over the last like 5 days, I'd say a little bit of randomness is kind of right in line.
Kind of like the offense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which also, one last thing. I don't know about you guys, but given the events that happened, I did not expect the first commitment after this game to be a quarterback. I'm just going to put that out there. Yeah. Like, I mean, they truly pick the school and the head coach sometimes, because I saw that and I was like, really? I'm like, mm-hmm. Cool, but really?
Yeah, exactly.
Picked us over Coach Prime.
Yeah. You know, as we're going out here and stuff, for everybody listening out there, you know, I was disappointed at us at we can't boo our team on the field, but we show up this Saturday and it's a new day and we're going to get these guys and everybody comes in and this is our team and this is our school and, you know, we're all in one. So new week, new game, let's go get them. And we are.
Penn State. So I think on that note, we can wrap things up here. Any of you guys have anything else before we call this a pod?
Yeah, one last thing. We only get seven of these games a year. It's going to be the last one. So even though the season hasn't been ideally going the way we have wanted it to be going, enjoy it. You know, we have such a great sense of community, you know, especially tailgating those, you know, 7 weekends a year. I definitely really look forward to them. Those are the highlights of my week. And it's definitely a long ways away to Blue White weekend. So thank you guys for all that you do. And Penn State fans, you know, one last ride. Enjoy yourselves. Be happy. Root on those seniors that have put in, you know, 4 or 5, or in some cases, 6 years at Penn State. You know, be cheering. No booze. Have a good time in Happy Valley. It's called Happy Valley for a reason.
Amen. So, all right. So a couple housekeeping things. As always, you can check out our website at nittanyblues.com. You can check out our merch at shop.nittanyblues.com. Learn how to support the show. That's also on the website. You can follow us on all forms of social media. It really helps us out, helps us get these episodes out there, share them with your friends, and helps us grow the program. But other than that, Vince, why don't you cap us off?
Yeah, definitely look at our swag at nittanyblues.shop. We got the classic black and pink. We got the lawn boys. We got basketball season started. We got a booty bell in honor of Jalen Pickett. So definitely check it out. We got the whoop. We got the deuces. Lots of great stuff in the store. If you guys want to support us, follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Subscribe. Give us a review. We're everywhere. We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Check us out. Tell your friends. Get them to listen. As always, appreciate you guys so much. And we want to remind you that we are
the Nittany Blues Podcast. We'll see you next time.